You're listening to episode 37, brought to you by PrepDish. For your free 2-week trial, go to prepdish.com/lovely. Welcome to Cultivating the Lovely, the podcast for real moms who are seeking Jesus, trying to live their roles well, and trying to add a little bit more loveliness to their life, even in just the little moments. I'm your host, Mackenzie Monroe from boldturquoise.com and cultivatingthelovely.com, and I am so excited to be back with you for season 3. Today, we are actually releasing 3 new episodes. This is the second one in the batch. It is with Jodi McKenna, which I will talk about more in a second. But I also have an episode where I'm walking you through some of the changes and new things that are happening with Cultivating the Lovely, and then we have a great episode with Erin Odom from The Humbled Homemaker. I think you're really going to enjoy all of them, and to kick off season 3, we are also doing a big giveaway. We have so many fun things in this giveaway, like a message canvas Bible, a happy planner, and lots of other goodies. You're not going to want to miss it. And the main thing that you can do to get into this giveaway is leave a rating and review in iTunes. When you leave your review, just make sure that you include your Instagram handle and then hop over to Instagram and enter the giveaway there, and you'll be all set. And we appreciate it so much, because that's the number one thing that you can do to really help us get the season off to an amazing start. We want iTunes to remember that we're here and we're back, and we want to get things really rolling. And so if you could do that to help out, plus have a chance to win this great giveaway, I would be ever so grateful. So thank you so much to all of you who do that. But I really do want to jump into this interview with my good friend, Jodi McKenna. As you will hear in the episode, we have known each other for quite a while, even though we live on opposite ends of the country, and we've had some really fun experiences together. So I'm so excited to share this interview with you guys, because I had so much fun recording it, and I think that comes through when you listen to it. Also, this episode is just packed with great information. Jodi has always been so good at making quiet times a priority for her kids and herself, and I think she shares some amazing wisdom here to help all of us make this more of a reality in our own lives. Also, I would love to hear what you think of this interview and all of the other interviews that we have, and one of the main ways that you can do that is connecting with me on Instagram at Bold Turquoise, or in our Facebook group, Cultivating the Lovely Prayer and News Group, where we've got a couple thousand women who are in there just really sharing prayer together and life together, and we would love to have you join us there as well. All right, ladies, without further ado, here is my fun conversation with Jodi McKenna. Welcome, Jodi.
Hello. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I am so excited to have you here. I actually thought of having you on last season, and I don't know why it took me like a season and a half of episodes to be like, Jodi would be the perfect guest to have on the show. So would you like to introduce yourself to everyone and kind of what is it you do and your family and everything? And then we'll talk about our history together.
Fantastic. Yeah, because our history is very fun.
Yes.
So my name is Jodi McKenna, and I love coffee and tea. And I am married to my high school sweetheart, Brian, and we have 4 miracle children. We weren't supposed to have any at all. And God just did an awesome work, and we started getting really crunchy and natural, and we got pregnant. And I blog at jodimckenna.com. I used to blog a lot more than I do now. Yes. But then motherhood kind of took over, and I love homeschooling, and I love learning, and that just became kind of my passion.
Yeah.
That's me. I also love gardening, and this is our first year out of, this might be my 11th year of gardening. We've had our first successful garden.
Oh, that's so funny.
So excited.
That surprises me.
Yeah. Well, I've always attempted.
Yeah.
And last year we just let the garden go fallow, and it had a Sabbath year's rest, whether that was intentional or not intentional. And this year I attacked it with new soil and lots of love and turned it. And this, like, sitting in my kitchen right now, I must brag about it. I'm going to make marinara sauce tomorrow. Ooh-hoo. I probably am going to have like 6 quarts. And for me, like, that's a lot of tomatoes. Like, I know diehard gardeners, you know, would do a whole lot more, but for me, I'm so excited.
That's awesome. Way to go.
Thank you.
Green thumb you. I live on a pseudo farm and I'm still not gardening. So,
and I have been to that farm.
Yes. Okay. So this is,
but you need to tell them why I haven't been in your house.
Yes. So this is the backstory. So Jody and I met each other through blogging like 100 years ago when blogging was still like really, truly blogging, like putting all your thoughts out there for the world and not so much like, hey, I was paid to talk about this product or, you know, like
just like scrapbooking.
Yes. It was like the real days of blogging. And so we kind of ran in some of the same circles, I think. And so I think we were trying to figure out, I think we've known each other for probably 6 or 7 years. And Jody was my first friend that I met in real life.
It was so fun.
It was so fun. I was just newly pregnant with Emerson and we got to go to coffee and it was just so much fun. And then she came again a couple years later after I had Ellie and she was pretty little. And so you got to see her, which was so much fun. And then I had this brilliant idea to take you to my house and be able to show you my house. But what I forgot was that I was driving my mother-in-law's car because in order to not have to switch all the car seats around, we just flip-flopped cars. And so I forgot that I didn't have the keys to my house.
And sadly, that was before I learned how to pick a lock. So I couldn't help you.
We were just stuck. We were hiking around in tall, tall weeds. I remember my husband hadn't even mowed our grass. And it was just like, I was making you guys hike all over the place and looking in the windows. And yeah, it was a very sad moment. Like, oh, we drove all the way out here and you came to Spokane and I couldn't even show you my house. So
still, I can at least say I've been to your house.
Been there. You know where it is.
Yes.
Yes. Someday maybe you'll actually come inside.
That would be awesome.
It'd be so much fun. So Jody and I do have a pretty good little history together. I was under Jody with Young Living Essential Oils because you also do that and that keeps you busy.
It does.
And so that's another whole awesome thing. But yeah, so we've gone back a long way. And it's been really fun too, because I think that back in the day, as I was becoming more crunchy, that was around the time that I started blogging and everything. Mm-hmm. And I followed, like, I called you my crunchy guru. I would just, because your blog used to be called Granola Mom for God.
And it did,
I just was like, I just lived on your blog.
Yes. And see, like when you first contacted me, I was like, oh my gosh, a famous blogger is contacting me.
And I was so small potatoes. I still am. Like, it's just so funny to me. But yes. And so we have just a fun history together.
Yes.
But in all that history, I have always admired your dedication to your morning times, and not just your morning time, but your kids' morning times as well. And I just think it's so cool how you've stuck to it, how you've started it and developed it over the years. And I just really want to dig deeply into that.
Well, you know, truthfully, it really started out quite selfishly. because as I was thinking about this, I was writing some of it out since that's how I process things. And I was thinking what I typed, which you all are going to be able to read, is, you know, I once had babies and they used to nap. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden that nap disappeared.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like devastating because I'm such an introvert that I was like, oh no, how am I going to do my quiet time? And so I wanted to figure out a way to have a quiet time. And so I thought, well, what better way than teaching my kids how to have a quiet time? And really, it just originated from the nap disappearing, the first nap disappearing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's when I would have my morning quiet time. And we had been missionaries in India. And, you know, every day I would have my chai and then do my quiet time. And I brought that back with me when we moved back to the States. And so as soon as I, you know, got the kids down for the first nap, I would make my chai, have my quiet time, sit on the couch in the corner and tuck up my legs under my lap and start doing a K. Arthur study or something like that. So when that nap disappeared, that morning nap, I went into hyperactive mode to figure out how can I still have quality time, but yet be starting to train up my child in the way he or she should go. Mm-hmm. And the Lord gave me this idea, and maybe I got it from some other wise mom too, or at a conference or something like that. I don't know at this point, but I thought, well, my quiet time always consists of something yummy to drink and music or a book. And so that's what I would do. I would change their diaper, read a story to them, usually a Bible story. Actually, now that I think about it, yeah, we'd go up to the room, change their diaper, and I would set, at the time it was Asher, set him into his crib, give him his milk, and then just like I would have milk or chai or something. Mm-hmm. And then I would, my goal was to read through the entire Bible to each of my kids at least once.
Wow.
While they were still babies. And so I would sit in the rocking chair and read a chapter, and then I would turn on some worship music, and then I would leave and I would go have my quiet time. So I didn't quite get as long of a time that I used to get prior to that nap, but I still got like 45 minutes. And wow. Newborns or young babies, like that 45 minutes or even a half an hour of just quiet where you can sit.
Yeah.
Is, you know, it's a little slice of heaven.
Yeah.
And then when we then added on the second and the third, you know, that those quiet times morphed. So one would still go down for a nap, and then the other one would start that process. Well, you know, it would just kind of keep going. So when one gave up a nap, then they would learn how to sit in their room and have a quiet time. And then when the cribs were gone, they would still have to sit on their bed in their room by themselves. And if they were sharing a room at that point, then I would put one of them in my bedroom or in the school room or somewhere separate. Mm-hmm. But the idea was still the same. They had something yummy to drink, and then they did their quiet time. They listened to music and looked at a book. And sometimes I would give them a stack of books.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they would chuck the books when they were done. They would chuck the books over the crib. But I didn't care because they were still happy.
Yeah.
And
that's the goal.
And really what I wanted them to learn was the ability to be alone, mm-hmm. and the ability to be reflective and contemplative on their own without having to be entertained. Mm-hmm. You know, just like you actually have to like learn to memorize things. Like it just doesn't come naturally.
Yeah.
And I realized that being alone and being still doesn't come naturally. You have to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
And so we just started, you know, young, them learning how to do it. And initially, I'll be honest, at first, like it lasted 15 minutes. And then as they matured and the ability to be alone with by themselves, then the time got longer and longer and longer.
Yeah.
But then there came the day, you know, when there were three boys in one room and a little girl. And that's when everything really changed.
Yeah.
And they started to be able to come downstairs when I was doing my quiet time of a morning. And so honestly, now we have this corporate time together, mm-hmm. which like this morning, they ended up getting sent upstairs. And Brian, my husband, intervened and he was like, "Mommy is doing her quiet time. If you're not doing your quiet time, you have to leave the room." And at first I was like, "Oh my gosh, that's so harsh." But then I was like, you know, they need to know this is important because when mommy and daddy get their time in the word, that makes us better parents.
Yeah.
And so, they got through their quiet time quicker than that meant they could either learn how to sleep in later or they can go get their breakfast or do the dishwasher. So we often now all end up sitting on the couch, which can be quite magical in and of itself, because if they have a question, then we can answer it or we can discuss what we're learning. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always happen. But then at each of the ages, like Naomi sees her brothers actually have their Bibles open and she's got this little devotional. So it's neat because, you know, it's very classical in that they're all learning from each other from different age ranges. They're teaching each other, mm-hmm. which that's pretty cool. And then, of course, our dog, Ruth, sits with us. And we have a whole hashtag for her, Quiet Times with Ruth.
Yes, you see her quite often on Instagram if you go look for it, which I love. It's so cute. Yes.
She's up to like 80 pictures
now. Oh my goodness, that's hilarious. So it sounds like when you started, it was more like when the morning nap would be. It wasn't first thing in the morning. Is that correct?
Correct. It was when the morning nap was.
But now it's migrated to, it sounds like, very first thing in the morning before anyone even gets breakfast. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, that's very, very true. So they typically all come down and they don't really talk to anyone. They just get their Bible and sit on the couch, and everyone has their spot where they sit. Now, sometimes Gabe is like falling apart and needs to eat. And
Yeah.
so he'll get something to eat, or he'll make me some eggs, and then he goes and sits down and does his quiet time. But yeah, typically they will read their Bibles or do some sort of devotion before they eat. Now, my husband's the exact opposite. He's got to eat first,
Yeah.
and then he does his quiet time.
Well, and I think that's good. Like you said, one of your kids doesn't necessarily do that. And it is so dependent on person. Like
It
there's
is.
a certain one of my kids. Yeah, he doesn't get up and eat first thing in the morning. The other one, if you say, oh, we got to do something before you have breakfast, he has these saucer eyes. Like, what are you
Yeah.
talking about? So I think that's an important point to make to other moms who are trying to implement this, is it's not going to look exactly the same for every family or even every stage. There's lots of different options to make it work for your family.
And totally. And like sometimes, even for a while, like Gabe would listen to, we would use a Bible app and he would listen to it. Ezra would use the app on the iPad because normally they don't get to use the iPad except for if we're on a long car ride or for our classical conversations work. But he would then like just put it up to his ear and listen to it that way. And that was fine. I mean, it says God's word doesn't return void. So they would just listen to it. Really, for a season, Gabe had a book. It was a Bible coloring book. And he just colored a picture that was a Bible picture. And that was okay. I wanted them just to have that practice of solitude and concentrating on something of the Lord for just a small period of time. So when they got older, like that was just so ingrained in them. Like, why wouldn't they have some sort of reflection upon what God has done? But it definitely has different seasons. Just like sometimes I'll end up reading a book for my quiet time, some good book that is about the Lord, but that'll sometimes, replace my actual Bible reading, just to vary it up. And I never wanted the kids to feel like, I'm this Bible thumping mom. You have to do this. And if you don't do this, you don't get this. Like, I never wanted it to be a punishment because that's not how we treat our friends. Like, so I always wanted it to feel like, well, you're just meeting with your friend who desperately wants to spend time with you, and he'll be showing up no matter what.
I think that's so good. And I like what you said about that it doesn't necessarily have to look the same all the time, especially for those kids who are younger. Like having it just be a picture that they color or the audio Bible. I know even if they're not younger, like I have a struggling reader and he's not totally young anymore. And it's always been like, well, how can you have this time on your own without me to facilitate it for you? But just using an audio Bible is such a simple way to do that. So would you pair that with a devotional or anything, or would you just have them listen to it?
I think if they're an auditory listener, I would personally just let them listen to it. They even, if you could do it in a controlled setting, give them a stack of Legos and let them just listen to it, or give them some tracing paper and a picture, and then they trace that while they're listening to it. Give them something like a lot. Sometimes I'll even pair it like with a smell or an aroma, like frankincense, because that's so pervasive throughout the Bible. So then that, train let they associate the Bible with that smell, and then it's even imprinted in their memory all the more.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
any way you can do it, I don't see it as wrong if you're just getting God's word into them and you're teaching them that valuable skill of being still in our busy, busy world.
And so important. And I think that a lot of families, we talk about family devotions a lot and stuff today, but I think if we want them to go on to have those quiet times later in life, it's so important that you instill it when they're little or when they're younger, because I know that's always been a hard thing for me. Like, it's just so easy to get out of the practice because it's not something that I grew up with, you know?
Right,
but if it's
right.
just all you've ever known, then of course you would just make the time to do that.
Right. Yeah. And I'll be honest, like, we don't do family devotions. That's something we've always struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we'll talk about God at the dinner table, or we'll talk about what we learned, about things like that. And of course it's woven throughout our homeschooling journey.
Yeah.
But this concept of family devotion, that hasn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now it could, because my husband's recently come home, and I know my friend Carissa from 1+1+1=1, like, her husband, Frank, you know, sits down and does a devotion with the kids every morning.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't, that hasn't ever fit into our routine, just because some of us are morning people and some of us are not.
Yeah.
I am the one who is not. Like, don't talk to me. Let me have my chai or my coffee and do my quiet time.
Yeah. I had to sit down my husband, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago and be like, no, you don't understand. Like, I don't even want to talk to you when I wake up. I love you. I don't want to talk to you. I need like processing time before I engage with anyone.
Totally get that.
Yes. So what have been some of your favorite resources as your kids have gotten a little bit older, like certain devotions, or are you actually like having them do studies as they get a little bit older?
Yeah, that is a really good question. And I kind of made a list. Some of the favorites. And it's interesting because my three boys are so radically different in what they've done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So like Gabe started out in a coloring book, and then one book was even like a dot to dot that was about Jesus. And then he listened to it for a while. And then now he actually has a big print Bible.
Oh, okay.
That he's been just reading that. And so he's reading a psalm a day right now. And he's so very proud of it. And it's just really precious. And then Ezra, so Gabe is currently 9.
Okay.
And then Ezra's 11. And Ezra has always loved, there are these Gotta Have God devotionals.
Hmm.
When they start out, they're spiral bound. There's a boy's version and a girl's version. And then when they get older, it's, I guess, bound like a real book.
Okay.
So he's done that. And then he reads through those comic book Bibles.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we've done the Lego one. And then we've done it's a David C. Cook one, where the pictures are actually pretty graphic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they also have a devotional, and he's done that. And so like these devotionals, he'll do two or three in a day, just because, I mean, they're kind of short.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just likes to curl up next to the dog. And so he'll end up staying longer. And then I honestly think he's trying to get out of the dishwasher. But
anything to drive him closer to the Lord.
Right. And then Asher started out doing K. Arthur studies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so his Bible's all colored, color-coded, marked up, has symbols. So she's got a great line for kids. And that really teaches them the inductive study method.
Yeah, we really like those ones too.
Yeah, but he went through all of those, and then he just kind of outgrew them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did all of Jim George's devotions. And then we're still waiting on a few of them because we've just been real cautious, like
mm-hmm.
how much information we give our kids when they get into the teen years, because he just turned 13.
Yeah.
So, and we call him a young adult. We don't call him a teenager.
That's a good idea. That is so smart.
That would be like a whole nother podcast right there.
Yeah. It was so funny because just last week, like we've had the whole discussion about, well, you know, in the Jewish custom, when you turn 13, you become a man and all this stuff. And for some reason the other day, like adulthood came up and Roman was like, well, Dad, you know, I'm going to be a man in 2 years. He was like, wait, what? Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really soon.
Cause you know, there's that one book about raising up a modern day knight and like mm-hmm. So Asher's been going through all the different, like squire and page and all that kind of stuff. But currently for his devotion, he's doing one about the Hobbit.
Oh,
And so it's a devotion that is pretty convicting, that uses the basis or the premise of The Hobbit and the characters in The Hobbit, and then really brings it back to the Lord and what it says in the Bible. So that's been pretty neat.
Yeah.
And then I guess I should say, we don't do the family devotion per se, but we take those YWAM books, Christian Heroes of Then and Now. And so like right now we're reading about Sundar Singh from India. And so I really think that plays a formation too, because right before Definitely. The kids go to bed, you know, we're sitting down all together, and then sometimes whoever's reading gets a massage or their hair brushed, which is epic.
That's amazing.
And then, you know, and then we read about that, you know, missionary in history. And so that can sometimes kind of act as a devotion time too, in a way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it just looks, you know, it can look different. I think sometimes we box God in to how we think a typical Christian devotion should look like.
Yeah.
And I just know that our God is so big for getting in the word and teaching them about Jesus. It's like, what do you, you know, what they do with Jesus is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I love that. And I totally agree that using those like missionary stories, I know Trisha Goyer has talked about that on the podcast before, and it's using those missionary stories. It gives them an example of what faith lived out can actually look like. And sometimes we read the Bible, but it's hard to interpret what that can actually look like in real life. And I think it's so important to have those examples. And also, I mean, that can even come up in fiction. Like if you have good Christian fiction, it can be an example of what to and not to do and how to handle things in a godly way. I mean, I know I definitely had those books, especially in my formative years, that I still think back on and that helped kind of shape my opinions on relationships and all that kind of thing, I think is
for sure
really important, and to not discount those, like you were saying.
Right. For sure.
Yeah.
And then I think the last one, and for a while, like I just read to Naomi, she's, 6 and a half, and that half is very important.
Yes.
very, very important. She just lost a tooth today on the first day of school. Very excited.
Wow.
Hers is really, really, really sweet. Hers is called Devotions for Beginning Readers. And it just has a short little Bible verse, and then kind of gives the main word, like, let's see, like today, I have it in my hands. Her word was remember. And so the Bible verse, you know, was Philippians 1:3. I thank God every time I remember you. And then it talked, it's just almost like a poem and then a little prayer. But she's a beginning reader, and so she's able to do this. And she's very excited because her book now fits in the Bible basket that we all put our devotions in.
Aww.
And so that's been really neat. And so this year is really the first year she's taken ownership.
Yeah.
And I don't have to remind her. She just, you know, pads down with her messy hair and climbs what's on the couch and reads her little devotion and then puts it away.
Oh,
so that's been
that.
Sweet. It's been, yeah, it's been really sweet.
That's so sweet. And it's so fun to be able to see when they make that transition from you really kind of having to facilitate it to it becoming theirs.
Right.
Oh, that's so amazing. I love it. And it's just always been so inspirational. You guys follow Jody on Instagram because she puts up pictures every now and then. And it's just so fun to kind of see it in real life and see that that's just like really happening and what an important place that has in your family. And like you said, I think that there's no other thing that's more important that we can be making a staple to our children is than spending time with Jesus, pursuing him.
Right.
And
right.
So I love that. Do you still do drinks? Do they still get yummy drinks in the morning? Is that a part of it still?
Well, it depends on where they're sitting. So you have a question for me that I'm going to be answering later, and I'll explain why they are not bringing drinks to a certain room in the house right now.
But not
like it used to be, because they've all, we switched to who does our milk, because we get raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've switched and they don't like raw milk anymore.
Aww.
And if I make homemade almond milk, they'll drink that, but I haven't been making the homemade stuff. So typically, nope, they have a dry, quiet time.
Okay. That's
now, Gabe will often make tea though, but he's got a really cool Minion mug. And so he'll make tea for himself,
Yeah.
but everyone else is like, yeah, doesn't want to have to clean up afterwards.
Yeah. And hey, a minion mug. I mean,
I know, right?
that really could put it over the top. Emmy has a mug that says it's like all pretty and fancy and has really pretty writing and it says killing it. And she
That's
just
so
thinks
funny.
it's the best mug ever.
That's funny. My chiropractor has a mug that's like a unicorn. Like literally, it's got the unicorn, like, what is that pointy thing
The horn
coming,
or
the
yeah.
horn, yes, coming out of the mug. And I
That's
desperately want
funny.
this. It's a handcrafted mug. I've got to find one.
I'd probably take an eye out if I would break out of a unicorn mug.
Well, thankfully it's like pointed away from
Yeah.
like
Oh, you never know what I'm capable of. Okay, let's take a quick break for a second and hear from this episode's sponsor, Prep Dish. You guys, has the new year hit you pretty hard? Like it has me. Like, holy cow, we went from summer of just hanging out, and well, really, we did have a lot going on, but it just feels different when you hit the school year. It feels like I'm kind of being bombarded from all directions with new activity schedules and getting school done and trying to be a homemaker on top of all of that, and it's really difficult. And Prep Dish helps me to not feel quite so insane. So what is Prep Dish? Well, it's a meal planning service, but they don't just send you any meal plan and recipes. They send you a meal plan that is organized in a way that you can take a couple of hours out in the weekend and do almost all of your prep work for the week. So all you have to do during a weeknight is spend 5 to 20 minutes getting the dish warmed up or ready, and you're done. You've got it on the table, you've made food for your family, you didn't have to spend money going out to eat, and you're just ready to go. It's a huge lifesaver. You guys, the meals are great. They're totally kid-friendly, and my kids always love them, and I just love knowing that I have that done. I am always for getting things done in advance, and Prep Dish really allows me to do that without having to put a ton of forethought into it myself. They take the work out of it for me. They create my grocery shopping list. Heck, I can even shop online with a lot of the links that they provide. You really can't go wrong with Prep Dish, so why not head over there and get your free 2-week trial? Just go to prepdish.com/lovely and they will get you hooked up with all of the information to try it out for 2 whole weeks and see if it really works for your family. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Jody. So anyway, I want to come back to a little bit of your quiet time again. So obviously, with your kids' morning times having evolved over the years, your morning time has as well. And you've talked about, you know, sometimes reading a good book or that kind of thing. So what have been some of your favorite studies or books that you yourself have used over the years, especially during motherhood?
Yeah, I would have to say, and I'm not being paid for this, I dearly love Kay Arthur studies. And so I have done her ones that come in the thinner book that you kind of do by yourself. And then I've also done the precept upon precept that are basically almost like real legit workbooks.
Yeah. Which that, you that, got me into those. The first
yeah.
one I ever did was Us Together and we did Matthew.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Years ago.
Yeah. So those are always have always been really important to me. And, you know, I would get the videos or download the MP3s of those and stuff like that. But recently I've found that because I'm often on the couch and I'm often interrupted, like actually being able to concentrate
yeah.
is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And so because those are so in depth, you know, it takes me a while to get focused where I can really just hone in on what she's saying.
Yeah.
So I dearly love the study that I'm doing. Like I spoke this past weekend at a conference and I even gave this study away and I just kept bringing it up because I love the title. It's called A Woman Overwhelmed.
Oh,
and
that is good.
by Haley DeMarco. And it's a Bible study on the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the premise is that we were actually made to be overwhelmed and that like that was really powerful for me because I'm often feeling overwhelmed with some of the hats that I'm juggling right now.
Yeah.
And just the responsibility that I feel. But the reality is we were created to be overwhelmed, not overwhelmed with life, not overwhelmed with our to-do list, but overwhelmed with God.
Yeah.
And that was huge. And that honestly was like, you know, like what you picture in a movie when all of a sudden there's this whoosh, you know, and someone's taken back in their mind. And I literally felt like I was transported back to when I first became a believer, when I, you know, when I read the back of this Bible study, and I was like, oh, that's what I remember. That's what I want. That's what I want it to be like. Give it to me now. And it's one of those studies where I've actually shown up every day, and I want to finish the whole thing, that whole lesson, each and every single day. And so then I bought it for my girlfriends, Casey and Melanie, and we're going to do it together. And then we're hoping to share it with the gals in our homeschooling group, because they're all just kind of weary and overwhelmed. And we, you know, we realize, wait a second, we're the old moms now. You know, we've got the young adults. So now it's time for us to start really mentoring the young mommies. And so, because they're not getting any sleep and they're changing diapers and, you know, they're weary. So, but I love a woman overwhelmed. And then of course, Kay Arthur, she was really my mentor. She was my spiritual mom for so many years.
I love that. And her studies, like you're saying, they're so deep and they're so good, and you get so much out of them. And when you walk away and your Bible is all colored, and you feel like, wow, like I really dug in there. But I am definitely feeling that kind of place where it's like, I just need something that I can pick up and be able to do, even if I get interrupted, and know that, okay, at least I made it happen today. Because that can be very hard, and it's so easy to get behind. Like sometimes I've tried to do like some of the online studies or whatever, but if I miss a day, then it's like I can never catch up. It's just, you
It's
feel
true.
hopeless.
And then you
So,
feel guilty, and then you're like, I'm a failure. And no, yeah. And
God
that's this
doesn't
one
want
is
my offering of
no.
coming to him now, you know? And so it's just a vicious cycle. I think when you can have a study that allows for a little bit more grace and time is definitely helpful.
Yeah, and I really feel in a woman overwhelmed, like there is that grace. And, you know, sometimes the passage is actually in the workbook, and then sometimes she has you look it up in your Bible. But like, I could have my travel Bible with me. I don't have to have my big one out. And so, like, for some reason, that's made it even more, it's made it easier for me to actually do it. And then I have gotten interrupted, but I'm able to pick right back up. So that's just been phenomenal.
I am
It's
gonna
been
have to check
so
that
good.
out. That
I love,
sounds
yeah, it's a good
really, really
study.
good. Really good.
All of a sudden, Amazon goes out of the study. Yes, it's bestseller.
Actually, I think we're doing a big giveaway for the launch of the new season. So I'm going to
Oh.
have to include that one in the giveaway. That would be really good.
It's totally worth it.
Yes, that would be really good. So, ladies, go enter the giveaway because going
Yes.
live today.
Yay.
Okay, well, I think that's a really good place to wrap up. So we'll move into our
Yes.
finishing stuff. We're introducing a new question for this season for both my guest and I to answer on every episode, and that is, what is one way you are creating loveliness in your life right now?
Well, I am really excited that you asked that, because I have been super intentional about this. See, now you got me started on this years ago whenever you really launched this. And I've often been looking for ways to make things lovely. Like
Well, look at that.
you gave me that permission to do so.
Well, I've been noticing, I just have to say, I don't know if this is what you're going to say, but I've seen some pictures of your home lately, and it is looking splendid. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, so I also read another book by the Nestor a while
Yes,
ago.
Michaelyn
You,
Smith.
yes, and you know, about even using things if they're broken, still using them to create beautiful moments in your home. And so the last thing to have gotten decorated in our home, and I'm not a fancy decorator, we keep it pretty basic, but was our schoolroom. And for some reason, like, we all hated our schoolroom. And it was kind of like this place where when you walk in from the garage, you threw your stuff. And it's right by the laundry room, and it just would always get laundry and stuff like that. And then it had this weird red colored wall, and the brick was almost brown, and oh. And with my husband coming home, I realized we needed a new space for new family memories and just a new place to be, because I really wanted to protect our marriage and protect our family with both of us being at home now. Because
Okay, hold on for a second. So we
what?
don't confuse people.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm not old.
Yeah, what is your husband coming home? Like, was he away? Like, it sounds like he's
Sorry,
been gone.
yes. Sorry. Yeah. So yeah, I think I'm 42. I might be 41. So I'm not old. I'm kind of old. My husband is a civil engineer, and we've been praying about him retiring from his job that he loved and just to be home with us full time and do school. So
Which you're able to do that, right? Because of Young Living.
yes,
Right. Okay.
yes.
Yeah. You
So
didn't
yeah,
just, you're not
we
like just randomly, didn't win the lottery or like,
No,
yeah.
we are
You're
not
still
millionaires.
working. You're
Yeah.
just, you're able to get enough with Young Living in order to bring him home.
Yeah. So
Okay.
we decided to adjust our lifestyle and live, on one income and bring him home because when we thought about it, we're like, we don't really have that many summers left with our oldest son. And
Yeah.
even when you actually count the weekends, we're like, wow, this is going fast.
Yeah.
And so Brian came home in June, and we have just been starting new family memories. So, anyways, he's home and he does some part-time work for the company that he used to work for. And then he's helping with our family business, White House Oils, and then helping with school. And then he's actually going to be Asher's tutor for his 8th grade class in classical conversations.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, not lots of neat things. But what I realized is that we needed a beautiful space where we could be a family, or where Brian's working because his desk is up in the kitchen. When he's up there, that we have somewhere where we can be loud, and
Yeah.
so that he can work and I can still get school done and stuff like that. So I got some cans of paint and just started painting.
You've been doing a
And
lot of
so,
painting.
yeah, well, yeah, because I finally finished the boys' bedroom, which is a camouflage. And
Yeah.
I learned the value of buying really high quality paint instead of really cheap paint.
Yeah.
And so then I went to Hobby Lobby and just prayed and asked the Lord to reveal what would really make our homeschool room special and that the kids would feel loved. And after reading Sally Clarkson's book on about the things that she had in her home
Which
for
one?
beauty,
The Life-Giving Home? Okay.
yes. And she talked about the books and the pictures and the
Yes.
music and the teapots. And so the kids each got to pick like some random object out. So we have a pineapple and a dachshund and some spiky thing and a red pair of shoes and objects. And then we've got art cards out in a basket that they can flip through. And there's arrows that represents each one of them. And
I
then,
love the arrows. I
yeah.
immediately
And
fell in love with those arrows.
that's really cool. And they're all coming from the same focal point. So they're being released like the quiver that it talks about in, I
Yeah.
think it's Proverbs. And then Brian and I even have our own thing. So we have got a bull because he loves this John Foreman song, Bull in a China Shop. And I've got, this fancy candelabra that's on the wall and a felt board. And so we've just done things. Oh, and the unicorn. We cannot forget the unicorn lamp.
Unicorns are essential.
I know. And so we've just done things. It's been amazing the radical change and how that's opened up for family time and just given us space to really function and to form new memories and school. I mean, today's the first day of school, but the kids have really done a moderated school all summer long.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so that's the beauty is I've just painted and then added a few things that made the kids feel loved because it represented them and it represented our family.
I love that.
And I love novel things. And so we just did the novel things. I didn't spend, an arm and a leg to make it happen. We used
Yeah.
coupons and, like we have a stack of encyclopedias that we got at a garage sale. It was $5 for a stack of 1980 encyclopedias, which those encyclopedias, I mean, it's amazing when your kids need to do research
Yeah.
because facts don't change.
Yeah.
So I just have a stack. I took it from the nester. And so I just have that stack of books and it's on the floor. It's up against where the kids, their cubbies are for their other school books. And so it just looks like it's natural, like it's art. But the
Yeah.
reality is it just didn't have room on a bookshelf. But yet,
Yeah.
you know what? So yeah, so that's the loveliness that we've created. And I still have one or two more walls to paint, but I'm not stressing out about it because
Good.
I don't want to sacrifice creating beauty and losing that with the family.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about you?
Well, my lovely right now is I'm kind of documenting things a little bit differently this year. I haven't been on Instagram as much. I keep intending to be, but I'm trying to be a little bit more in the moment and not get caught up like having to, oh, I got to post this picture or whatever. Right, and then I just forget to do it later. But one thing I've been able to do is I got a big happy planner this year, and that's what I'm using for all of our homeschool planning. But so it's all, I mean, a lot of that comes out of my course and the forms that we use and the lovely homeschool course. But my favorite part is using the actual planner that you buy to keep track of what we're actually doing and not just what we're planning to do and then maybe not actually having that happen. And so I got a zip printer, a Polaroid zip printer.
Yes.
I got it for Christmas last year and I hadn't even really dug into it. And then the beginning of the summer, I started really utilizing it. And it's so fun. They're these little 2x3 photos. They're on sticker paper. It is a little bit spendy, but I figure the memories that I'm putting in there are going to last. And it's so easy for me. I maybe throw in a little bit of washi tape, but it's already pretty because it's a happy planner. And so if I don't do a thing to it, it still looks good. And I just slap these pictures in there. They fit perfectly in the happy planner boxes of the big happy planner. And I can maybe like make a short list of things that we've accomplished, which I think I'll probably be doing more of that as the school year continues. Or I can journal about it, or even just like one day over the summer, it was like we were just all worn out. So one whole box, I just put nap time. That was it. But I feel like I have week after week of these memories of, oh, we took this picture on that day. But because it's just this one little strip of space, it doesn't feel overwhelming for how much I have to try to fill, you know? And it's not like I have to do a full scrapbooking layout or anything like that. It's just a pretty simple little thing that I can do to be like, okay, this is what we actually got done. And I think a lot of times I get to the end of our homeschool year and feel like, did I teach them anything? did we do anything of value? And I think actually keeping track of those things is going to help us all be able to look back over the year and be like, oh, like look at all the field trips we went on and look at all these days that we did get math done and we did get reading done. Like there was progress. And I'm trying to slip some things in there too. I mean, it's really nice. I have one of those punches that works for the happy planner. And so like if my kids get certificates, like the different camps they went to this summer, they got certificates of completing Taekwondo camp and completing, you know, this farm camp they went to. And I can just punch those and throw them in there because otherwise they'd probably end up getting thrown away. Like, I'm just not that mom who's good at, like, keeping those things in good shape. But now it's like they're all in there. It's going to be this kind of, like, family yearbook that we have at the end of the year. And so I'm just really excited to see how that kind of forms itself over the year.
So it kind of sounds like that's morphed from your Midori is now to the happy planner.
It really is. I mean, I still carry a little traveler's notebook with me that my husband got me for Christmas, and it's turquoise and it's beautiful.
Of course.
So I put like my shopping lists and that kind of stuff. And I use that more even for like my Bible studies or that kind of thing, but it's not so much my planner anymore. I have a smaller happy planner, like the regular size that I use just for kind of day-to-day life and what we're eating for dinner and things that I need to do. And then the big happy planner has become our homeschool planner. So
that's neat.
Yeah. I'm excited to have just something all in one place that we can look back on at the end of the year and have.
I like that too, because it sounds like it's simple, because always like with a Midori or traveler's notebook, I felt like I had to be so creative.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this actually has the structure. The creativity is kind of already there for you. And then you just add your life into it.
Yeah, exactly. And I love doing the creative thing, but I have to be honest with myself with how much time I have. Like if I wasn't doing as much as I am, then yeah, I would totally be into my Dory and doing it all and making the new notebooks every month. But I just don't have enough bandwidth. I only have so much of me. And so the happy planner has been just like this good place to come back to. It's still beautiful. I can add to it if I want to, but I can keep it plain and it's still cool. So yeah.
Well, I at least want to see one picture of that on Instagram.
Okay. I will try to add more. I know I've had a lot of people asking lately, and so I need to get more on there for sure. So, okay. Since this is your first time on the show, hopefully maybe the first of many.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
It'd be so fun. I'm going to ask you the stock questions that I ask everyone. So this one is such a given. It's not even funny, but candles or essential oil diffuser?
Haha. Well, you know what? It's a bit of both because I do odorless candles. That's on the kitchen table. But there is a diffuser in every single room.
Yes, of course.
And I will say my new diffuser that I got actually flickers.
Ooh,
so yeah, Young Living came out with it, and there's this one setting. It's the yellow setting, and then it flickers, and it really looks like a candle. It's so neat.
Oh, I might have to look into one of those.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's cool. Okay, cloth napkins or paper?
Cloth.
Okay, city or country?
Well, currently we live in the city, but we want to move out in the country about 2 years.
Okay. Paper or digital?
Paper.
Yes.
Of course, yeah. Which is really funny because I'm such a social media girl, but
yeah.
I give me a good book, let me write it down, let me highlight. Yeah. Paper.
Okay.
And it smells better too.
It totally does. Okay. Shopping online or in store?
Online.
Yep.
No brainer.
Yep. Okay. It's 4 o'clock or whatever time you make dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or to music?
I probably am enjoying silence.
Yeah.
If I need to feel really happy, then I will put on Christmas music.
Oh my goodness. That's hilarious.
Yes, or French cooking music.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I would have never even thought of that.
But Christmas music always makes me happy, so
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
My kids will try to bust out a Christmas song every now and then. I'm like, does it look like Thanksgiving to you? No, it does not. Make that go away.
My friend Melanie knew that I was really sad one day, and so she's like, go put your Christmas music on.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, chocolate, milk, or dark?
Dark.
Okay. Sports or no sports?
No sports.
Okay.
Unless it's like backpacking.
Yeah, okay. But like organized sports.
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Live broadcasting. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
Oh, broadcast.
Okay. What is your favorite movie?
Oh, maybe The Princess Bride.
That's a good one. I think we've had that answer before. It's just such a classic.
It is. We are always saying lines from that movie.
Yeah. You can't go wrong with the Princess Bride line.
Totally not.
Okay. This may be my favorite time asking this particular question, and it is the final question.
It's got to be about diapers.
Well, sort of. Okay. So if you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum, and 0 is totally not crunchy, and 10 is singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair, where would you put yourself on the crunchy spectrum?
I am probably like an 8.5.
Really?
I don't have dreadlocks and I do shave my hair.
Yes.
And I would say, like used to, I would put me more at a 9.5.
Yeah.
But with all the kids being so active and bigger now,
yeah,
you know, I don't do all the fermenting that I used to do. I just have kombucha and kefir going.
Okay.
And I only do stock maybe every 3 months now.
Okay.
And of course, we're not cloth diapering.
Anyway,
and Diva Cup all the way, so you don't even need cloth pads. So.
I gotta say though, those new Thinks, the period underwear.
I'll have to look into that.
In a totally different direction, but I love them. Love them. People, even if you're not crunchy, go look up Thinks. We will link to it in the show notes, along with all the other things that we have talked about in this episode. Thank you so much for joining me. It was so much fun.
Thank you for having me. Totally made my day.
Made my day too. We'll have to do it again.
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I told you she was a blast, didn't I? I just love chatting with Jody, and if you like listening to what she has to say, because she's so fun, but she's packed with wisdom, and I just love that. So if you would like to possibly hear more from her in the future, be sure you hop over to the Cultivating the Lovely Facebook group and let us know what you thought. I really do love hearing from you guys about what you love and what you don't so much about the podcast, so that I can really make it as helpful of a resource for you all as I possibly can. One thing we try to do to make things as helpful as possible for you guys is to deliver really succinct, clear show notes to help you find everything that you want to from this particular episode of the podcast. So if you want to find any of the resources that Jody or I mentioned during the show, you can go to boldturquoise.com/37. Thank you so much for allowing me the privilege of getting to speak into your life with each episode. I don't take that responsibility or that privilege lightly. So thank you so much for that opportunity. I hope you guys are having a wonderful start to your new year. Be sure to catch the next episode with Erin Odom, where we're talking about her brand new book, More Than Just Making It. And next week, we will have Trisha Goyer on the show talking about her new book, Walk It Out. All right, ladies, until then, go join that giveaway and be bold and gracious.